From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Propelled by stories of patients who can't afford their medicines and sometimes skip what the doctor ordered, advocates in the General Assembly are pushing to create a prescription drug affordability board with the power to set a cap on how much Maryland and its counties would pay for some costly drugs. Opponents contend that would amount to price controls not within the power of the state and could lead to shortages of crucial drugs. Harford County Executive Barry Glassman, the only Republican among the eight county executives lobbying for the board, said something has to be done.
At some point, the state or the federal government, someone has to step up and say, we cannot continue down this path, particularly on prescription drug costs. It is simply not sustainable.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. One of the high-suspense issues still to be decided before the General Assembly wraps up on Monday is whether Maryland will become the first state to set caps on what state and local governments pay for some expensive drugs. The bill would set up a prescription drug affordability board, empowered to examine name-brand drugs that cost $30,000 or more for a year's treatment, or generics that double in price. If the board concludes evidence from the drug manufacturer does not justify the price, it could set a lower threshold as the top that Maryland and its counties will pay. Opponents, including the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Trade Group and the Maryland Tech Council, contend that amounts to price controls, not allowed by federal law, as previous efforts by Maryland have proved. Advocates say it would not limit what manufacturers can charge, only what Maryland entities will agree to pay. The House of Delegates approved the Prescription Drug Affordability Board along party lines, 98-40. Then it went to the Senate Finance Committee, which approved it yesterday. It faces vigorous debate in the full Senate. The advocacy group Maryland Citizens Health Initiative lined up eight county executives to lobby for the bill, all of them Democrats, except Harford County's executive, Republican Barry Glassman, who joins us by phone. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Why are you, a Republican, lobbying for legislation that could limit what state and local governments in Maryland pay for some prescription drugs?
Well, as a suburban county executive, one of the areas that I've seen increase exponentially over the last 4 or 5 years is prescription drug costs. And many local governments, like Harford County, are self-insured for their health care and their drug costs. So when I look at budgeting 4 years ago, when I spent $8 million roughly, and this year we are estimating $12 million in drug costs, you can see why local governments are becoming concerned and stressed with these increases, but also small businesses. And then it comes down to our senior citizens and average families who may not have the funds available like a local government, but yet are seeing these huge increases in specialty drugs.
So let me just drill down on that a bit to make sure that we all understand. When you say we self-insure, you mean that even county employees who may deal with an insurance company in administering their health coverage, it's actually the county that is paying those prescription costs.
Exactly. We have a manager, so we, like Care First is our health care provider. They administer our claims and employee programs, but at the end of the day, the county funds those expenses in our annual budget ordinance.
Quite a few Republicans in the legislature see this approach as price controls.
The bill does not set up price controls. As you know, it as currently drafted and passed by the House, the bill will take a first step at actually setting up a drug prescription affordability board. And then by 2021, we'll begin to administer some upper limits, particularly for specialty drugs where we see an increase of over $30,000 a year or a course of treatment. You know, for example, in Harford County, we have many drugs that specialty drugs that you see on TV, say Humira. We may spend about $1.2 million on 144 prescriptions. That's just 144 doses. The county spends over $1 million. So, and then we have a number of specialty drugs that the county spends close to $5 million a year just on the top 25 drugs. So our concern is that the federal government has not addressed this. And long term, when you look at the budget and the annual increases, not only in health care, but prescription costs, it is not sustainable for local governments. And it really will begin to stress our ability to offer good benefit packages. And if it's hitting local governments, it's hitting small businesses. And I would think most Republicans want to be pro-business and take care of the business community, but also the average family and senior citizens that have to try to sustain these annual increases. So I think the bill is a good first step to begin to at least get our arms around why these costs are going up each year. And it only really targets those drugs that go up in an enormous amount each year.
I want to ask you more about how you see this working in Harford County, but I'd like listeners first to hear from an exchange during the House hearing on the House version of the bill, an exchange between Republican Delegate Sid Saab of Crownsville and the bill's Democratic sponsor, Delegate Jocelyn Pena Melnick of College Park.
So what happens with the bill when we have this board in place and we realize that there's one medicine that's $30,000? What's the teeth in the bill? What happens? Can you force a manufacturer to sell it cheaper? I'm just trying to understand.
Basically, under the bill, there's this threshold, right? And the manufacturer either accepts it or not.
We're setting the price.
You don't set price. We're not setting price. We're saying this is what we're willing to pay, okay? And the manufacturer can come back.
Right,
and under the bill, the manufacturer can come back and explain why they need to get more. The bill allows for that. Okay, they can present evidence why they feel that they need to charge more for that drug. The bill allows for that process. And then that information that the manufacturer submits, that evidence, the board determines, okay, maybe we need to, you know, pay a little more because they're right. They gave us evidence that they deserve to be paid more. So there is flexibility in the board. And there's also a mechanism for the manufacturer to appeal that decision if they don't agree as well. So it's not a, you know, all or nothing, no negotiation. It is a pretty open process.
So to be clear, we're setting threshold, not a price. We can say we think, as a board, you should sell your medicine for that much or lower.
Mm-mm. No. No.
So who's we? We as a state?
It's a ceiling. We have a
That's
ceiling.
That's the max that you can
it's
sell
It's a ceiling that we have.
State.
That's
Otherwise,
correct.
Don't sell in the state.
Excuse me?
Otherwise, go sell it in another state.
No.
We're not going to buy it from
No. In Maryland, this is what the ceiling is.
Right.
Okay? In Maryland. You can go to Delaware.
Right. What if they say no?
Then they say no.
And they leave.
If they leave... Then we have an amendment that includes an importation language so that providers may import that drug from the outside.
From the same manufacturer?
No, from another country, like Canada.
That was the House sponsor of a bill to set up a prescription drug affordability board, Delegate Jocelyn Pena Melnick, responding to questions from Republican Delegate Sid Saab. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with a supporter of the bill, Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. So you say that this would help the county control costs for the drugs that it pays for basically your employees. Who else? Who would, as the bill is now written, who would see some protection in your view?
So as the bill is amended, the first step in I think it's 2021, will apply to entities funded by local and state government, and that would be in Harford County, that would be about 5,500 people, which includes my employees, retirees, their family members, and some of my affiliate agencies in the state. That may be the prison system, anyone under the purview of a state prescription plan would be covered under this first initial step outlined in the bill. And so during the next 2 years, the bill really charges the creation of the board and the method to set up the board. And then they begin to look at the criteria and the formulas that they're going to use to analyze these costs and what is known as the upper payment limits, which is, I think, what the delegate was talking about, these higher ceilings. And, of course, the manufacturers can come in and begin to, you know, defend their case or make a case on why they have increased exponentially above what is considered reasonable. Now, for local counties, the savings, I mean, when you think about really our five most expensive prescription drugs cost the county roughly $10,000 per refill. That's $10,000 for a 30-day supply. So for the county right now, we're seeing these specialty drugs really drive the cost of prescription health plans. I mean, I know there's going to be a balance with working with the industry, but listen, at some point, the state or the federal government, someone has to step up and say, we cannot continue down this path, particularly on prescription drug costs. It is simply not sustainable. And one could make the argument until the federal government comes to grip with yearly increases of 20% in health care costs, that is not too far behind. Now, in Maryland, we do regulate through the Maryland Health Care Commission reimbursement rates and hospital rates and so forth. So we do have a program for that. But outside of that, health care costs are increasing at the same rate. And my red flag is, as a conservative Republican who balances budgets, that sooner or later, local governments and state governments are not going to be able to fund these benefit packages. And then what really puts your employees at risk is not having coverage.
Are you concerned about the point that Delegate Saab raised, that some manufacturers will just say, we're not going to play in Maryland, we're not going to supply the specialty drugs that are so expensive if you won't let us charge what we think we need to charge?
I think that's where the board and the manufacturer have to begin to, you know, evaluate their data on why they think they need to charge this and work with the board. I don't think it's as simple as they're going to pull up shop. Listen, it's a multi-billion dollar industry for them, and their advertising budgets outstrip their research budget, in fact. So I think there's room for compromise. I just think everyone needs to come to the table to begin to address these costs. We just can't simply say this is what it costs and pass it on.
Thanks for talking to us about it. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Harford County Executive Barry Glassman, a Republican, supports legislation to set up a prescription drug affordability board. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have links to some news coverage of the proposal. Short break now on the record. When we're back, other state efforts. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this morning about the proposal before the legislature to set up a prescription drug affordability board, which would have the power to examine high-cost medicines, determine if they are affordable, and if not, set a cap on what Maryland and its counties would pay for them.
In voting 98-40 in favor of the board, House Democrats didn't seem deterred by contentions of drug manufacturers that such caps would constitute price controls outside the state's power, and that the regulation would prompt biotech firms to leave Maryland. Brad Stewart heads a company called Immunology Partners and is vice chair of the Maryland Tech Council, a trade group of several hundred technology and life science companies. He told senators the bill would not help the financially strapped patients they had just heard from.
This bill does not solve the problems the citizens of Maryland face today in affording their medications. Instead, it will actively and rapidly push healthcare in Maryland to become the worst in the United States. Instead of a thoughtful or reasoned solution, this bill proposes the most bureaucratic and convoluted route possible. This bill encourages limited or no access to life-saving medications in the state of Maryland, drug shortages, parallel trade to send drugs preferentially outside of Maryland, and incentivizes the introduction of counterfeit drugs into Maryland's drug supply chain, all while discriminating against the lives of Maryland's most vulnerable patients.
Brad Stewart of Immunology Partners, testifying before the Senate Finance Committee on March 6th. For another perspective, we're joined now by Gerard Anderson, Ph.D., who is part of the Johns Hopkins Drug Affordability and Access Initiative. He also directs the Johns Hopkins Center for Hospital Finance and Management. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
A couple years ago, the General Assembly passed a scheme to stop price gouging in drugs. The federal court struck it down as unconstitutional, infringing on interstate commerce. I know you're a health economist, not a lawyer, but the new proposal in the legislature to regulate what state and local governments will pay for expensive drugs, would that be seen differently by the courts?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but we think so. We've learned from our past mistakes, and instead of trying to control the price, we're controlling the amount that people pay. And the courts have always allowed states to control the amounts that people pay for services.
Does Maryland already do that in other health areas?
So Maryland does that and has since 1971 for hospital care. And part of the new system, they're doing it for physician and other services. So this is just fits in with what we're already doing in Maryland.
Is a system like the one proposed in this legislation, is it in place in any other states?
It is not, and this would make the first place that they're doing it. There's things that the federal government does that sets rates, like in the 340B program, in the Department of Defense, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and other places. So it's unique in the state level, but it's not unique as being done by the government.
Are other states considering?
There's about eight states that are looking at Maryland. Maryland is going to be the leader, and if it passes in Maryland, a number of other states are going to take this up, and probably next year. And I think that it will pass because there's just a lot of disgruntledness with the prices of pharmaceuticals in the United States. So I expect that a number of states are going to do it. We've already talked to about five or six of them who are interested in it, but waiting for Maryland to act.
One of the big arguments against setting a cap on what state and local governments pay for some drugs is that manufacturers could just decide not to supply that medication in Maryland.
It's possible. It's very unlikely to do so. These are part of large networks of healthcare delivery systems, and so they would have a great deal of difficulty just doing it in Maryland or just doing it in Maryland for a very small set of the population in Maryland, the state employees. It just wouldn't be worth it. They also sell these drugs in other countries at much lower prices than the board would probably set in Maryland. So they're already selling it in places like France and the UK at much lower prices. So we're just going to get the same prices that other countries get.
That's Gerard Anderson, Ph.D., of the Johns Hopkins Drug Affordability and Access Initiative. Here on the record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about a proposal in the General Assembly that could lead to caps on what local governments and the state pay for some drugs. One of the things that the sponsor of the bill, Delegate Pena Melnick from Prince George's County, says is that drugs could be imported from Canada. I would think the federal government would not allow that.
So the government does allow it in certain circumstances. We're working with the city of Philadelphia, for example, to to import naloxone, which is used for opioid treatment. So there is a number of circumstances where it's allowed, and they've done it for things like the Martin Shkreli drugs. If you remember a couple years ago, Farmer Bro had a drug, and he wouldn't allow anybody else to actually buy it and to copy it, and therefore they couldn't get any other drugs in the generic market out there. So the FDA has allowed people to bring it in from other countries. So it does happen. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen in unique circumstances.
As you heard, one of the complaints from opponents to this proposal is just the bureaucracy of setting up the board and how long it would take until it actually had any impact in the real world. How much would it cost to create this kind of board?
Well, it's not very expensive. It would be paid for by the pharmaceutical industry, so the taxpayer wouldn't pay anything. And it would be somewhere in the $10 to $15 million range a year, which is less than what the hospital HSCRC costs. We're essentially not asking for a large bureaucracy to be created, and it's only dealing with a small number of drugs. So it's never going to be a large bureaucracy, never going to be expensive at all to the taxpayer of Maryland.
Well, what would you say to those who say the big problem is not what manufacturers are trying to get as much as the fact that the middlemen, the benefit managers, basically pocket the discounts that the manufacturers are willing to give, and the patients, the consumers, never actually get the discounts? They say there's a simpler way to address the problems of patients, and it's not this board.
So when we look at the data, about 75 or 80% of the money from a drug sale goes to the pharmaceutical company. So you really just have to take a look at that one fact and understand that it really starts with the pharmaceutical industry. Yes, there is some money that goes out to the PBMs and other middlemen in this activity, and that's a growing number, but the bulk of the money goes to the drug company, and the drug company is the one that sets the price. It's not the middleman, it's not the PBM. It is the drug company that sets the price, and so you really have to go with where the money is.
One of the drugs that has gotten a lot of attention, or it's actually, I guess, a complex of drugs that's gone up so much in price, is insulin, which some diabetics need to take every day because their body doesn't produce it. Do you see this approach having any effect on insulin prices, and if so, how soon?
Not soon in terms of the next year or two. It's going to take a while for this organization to get up and running and to start to make decisions. So nobody listening today should expect a reduction in their insulin price tomorrow. But at the same time, this is an example of where the drug has not changed substantially over the last 40 years, but the price has gone up every year. And it's not as a result of research, it's because the drug company can raise the price. So, yes, this is something that the Affordability Board will take a look at, or should take a look at, and try to understand why the price keeps going up when there's no new real research involved in insulin treatment and insulin research. And I think it is a prime example of something that might be considered by the board.
I appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
I'm glad to do it. Thank you.
Gerard Anderson, Ph.D., is part of the Johns Hopkins Drug Affordability and Access Initiative. He also directs the Hopkins Center for Hospital Finance and Management and is a professor at the Bloomberg School of Public Health. The House of Delegates passed the bill, and the Senate is expected to take it up before the General Assembly session wraps up Monday night. We have links to some reporting about the bill at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us on the record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.